take a little diversion this morning. We're going to turn to Ezekiel 34. I'm going to start by reading verses 1 through 6, and then farther down in our message we'll read some more verses, but I want to just capture from verses 1 through 6 of Ezekiel 34, what is on the heart and mind of God. When I was away this week and I was getting emails about things that were happening, real crises that were taking place, real needs that were going on in the body of Christ, I felt very negligent. I felt like I shouldn't be down there. I felt like I should be up here. And I'm very thankful for Donna Reiser and John Ackley and Marge Ackley and the rest of the care team for doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes while people were struggling this week. But I felt like I was kind of stepping away and being fed while the rest of the congregation here in Lindenwald, New Jersey, needed a bit of feeding. So I started meditating on this passage of Scripture. The first six verses are rather harsh, but I think if we go through those first six verses, by way of contrast, we'll see what is really on God's heart, and then we'll find out how God Himself remedies that when we as God's shepherds fail to take care of the sheep, bad things happen, and we must repent of that, and we must make sure that we as God's under shepherds within His flock don't do the things that these people were doing in the first six verses. But we need to make sure we don't take it on ourselves and that we look to the true shepherd of the sheep. So follow along as I read verses 1 through 6 of Ezekiel 34, where he prophesies against the shepherds of Israel. The word of the Lord came to me. That's to Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God forbid that this should happen to this little flock. God forbid that this should happen to the flocks that are scattered around the United States and indeed across the globe. Father, may we not have shepherds that are self-indulgent but also negligent. But Father, may we also look to Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, who himself has only him has the capacity truly to shepherd his flock. And may we in trust and belief in him draw strength from him to shepherd the flock of God. For your honor, for your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the techniques an artist uses to create a great painting is the principle of contrast. If a painter wants to highlight a particular figure in their painting, they'll often use a contrasting color as foreground and background so that the background will recede into the background and the object that is being highlighted will advance toward you. You can do this with a variety of contrasting colors. You can contrast orange with blue. You can contrast yellow with violet. You can contrast red and green or various shades of those. And it creates a contrast such that you're able to see the figure that the painter wants you to see. You can see this in the Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris, France. If you look at the background has this kind of greenish cast to it. But then the face of the Mona Lisa is kind of a reddish color, so that the face itself advances and the greenish background indeed goes far into the background. It creates a sense of three-dimensionality. And this was not unintended by Leonardo da Vinci. And of course, if you look at various great paintings, you see this all over the place. Like a master painter, God offers such a contrast in this passage in the book of Ezekiel. And admittedly, the words here are harsh. And they present a background of neglect. They present a background of abuse. They present a background of harm. But as we looked at those six verses, they are indeed the background, because God then uses these six verses to strike a contrast with the heart that he has for his own sheep and the heart that he has for his own shepherds within his flock. And if we spend a little time looking at the background, I think we can get a greater understanding of where God's heart is by looking at the power of contrasts and the way that God really wants his sheep to be cared for. As we move through these six verses, notice the striking contrast between God's heart for his sheep and the actions of his shepherds. The first thing I'd like you to notice here in verses 1 and 2 is that Ezekiel records about God's response to the actions of the shepherds of Israel. In the first two verses, the prophet Ezekiel records God's anger against these shepherds of Israel. In other words, shepherd is used figuratively here and at several places in the scriptures. There were shepherds in Israel, but really in this context, he's talking about leaders. He's talking about their kings, but he's talking about their priests as well. He's even talking about their prophets, because there were prophets in Ezekiel's day and earlier on in Isaiah's and Jeremiah's day that were shepherds of the sheep, but they were feeding themselves rather than feeding the sheep and causing the sheep to experience harm and to wander out and be attacked by wild beasts, as it were. Well, here in Ezekiel 34, the prophet Ezekiel is using the word shepherd to refer to the leaders, primarily the spiritual leaders in Israel. And here these shepherds, these ministers, are leaders and judges among the people. They're charged with taking care of the flock of God, the people of God. But God, through Ezekiel, accuses them of taking care of themselves rather than taking care of their sheep. And the simple fact that God would point this out shows us that God does care for his sheep. Shows us that God has a heart for his sheep. He doesn't want to see his people wander. He doesn't want to see his people being abused. He doesn't want his sheep to be neglected. If we looked at verses 3 and 4, we find out how these shepherds of Israel are abusing or neglecting their flock. Verse 3, they don't care for the flock. The figurative language is very poignant, because these shepherds are benefiting from the offering of the sheep. They're eating cheese made out of milk acquired from the sheep. They're clothing themselves with wool that came from the sheep. They slaughter the best sheep for their food and for their own offerings. They take care of themselves rather than taking care of the sheep, the people of God. Oh, they expect the people of God to bring these offerings in. But these priests, these shepherds, these leaders of Israel are taking that for themselves, not even offering up the sacrifices on behalf of the people. Verse 4, they don't strengthen the weak or heal the sick. While they're consuming all the benefits the sheep brought, these unfaithful shepherds are failing to nurse the ailing sheep back to health. And these sickly sheep are left to fend for themselves. And these ministers are being served by the sheep instead of serving the sheep. Also in verse 4, they don't bring back the strays or search for the lost. The sheep are being scattered. They're going astray. And these unrighteous shepherds are so occupied with their own pleasures that they not only fail to notice the wandering sheep, they neglect to go out and search for them. They fail to search for the ones who have already become lost. Now, to be sure, we're all prone to wander. Isn't that what the song says? Come thou fount of every blessing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that what Isaiah 53:6 says? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. See, sheep will go astray, but these shepherds neglected to search for them and bring them back and hedge them in so that they would not go astray, because they're serving themselves. Also in verse 4, they rule over the sheep harshly and brutally. They use their position to lord it over the flock. Maybe they do set up rules and regulations that try to keep the flock in control or under control. But they rule like tyrants, and they neglect the people of God. And these shepherds prove that they have no regard for the sheep. And when they prove they have no regard for the sheep, they're really saying they have no regard for God. See, all these examples describe some form of abuse. And abuse can be physical, it can be sexual, it can be emotional, it can be verbal, it can be spiritual. But neglect can also be a form of abuse. And all of that can be seen in these verses. And if we apply it to our own lives, we see churches around our country and around our world using state-of-the-art technology for nurseries to scan and track children under their care, as well as people who drop off and pick up their children. And churches are taking every precaution to prevent children in the nursery and the youth group from even the suggestion or hint of abuse. How many of God's flock are simply being neglected spiritually, failing to be prayed for, failing to be followed up with, failing to be fed spiritually? All the while, the pastors and shepherds are getting fat on the resources that are brought in. This past year was, I hate to say a bloodbath, but it was a bloodbath of neglect and abuse being exposed in all kinds of arenas. Entertainment arena, politics, business and industry, even in the church. Pastors who had been mega pastors exposed for the abuse and the neglect they had been foisting upon the flock of God. God has a heart for his flock. God cares about his people. And if God created the people of Israel to be his own, wouldn't he want them to be cared for? And with this, we see a fitting contrast for how God wants his people to be treated today. What are some ways that the sheep can be cared for today? Shepherds can care for their sheep today by using their position in which God called them to nurture God's people and to demonstrate the benefits of living a godly life. They can tune in to the stresses and hurts and frustrations of the people in the pews. They They can be compassionate for those wandering out in the wilderness of sin, desperately in need of salvation and desperately in need of repentance. And they can go out and bring those wanderers into the shelter, revealing the people to their people God's heart. Shepherds can recognize the unique temperaments and personalities that God has gifted His people and use those gifts for God's glory and for the edification of His church. See, God cares for His sheep. Look at verses 5 and 6. Notice the result of those harsh and loving actions. Verse 5, the sheep are scattered because there's no shepherd. Verse 5, when they're scattered, they become food for wild animals. Verse 6, God's sheep wandered all over the mountains and over every high hill. Instead of being sent to proclaim the gospel, they are wandering out there in the wilderness. God's sheep are scattered over the whole earth. Also in verse 6, no one searches for them. No one looks for them. And when the shepherds check out, the sheep wander about in disunity, losing heart and hope, with no spiritual stability. They quickly become prey to the wolves of this world, and their lives become shipwrecked by the storms of life. Certainly, God would not want these things to happen to His flock. They are the very things that grieve the heart of God. Have you ever seen that movie from the 1990s, Schindler's List? It's a striking movie. A movie that makes you shudder. It's powerfully filmed in black and white. But one of the most powerful and thought-provoking scenes in that movie was a scene in which there was a raid on a Jewish ghetto by Nazi German troops. And amidst of all the chaos and shooting and screaming, and in contrast to the black and white background, the camera follows a little girl in a red-colored coat. Do you remember that? And throughout that, there's this little thread weaving through that scene. And the camera follows this girl as she's simply wandering through the chaos, wandering through the violence. Nobody even notices her. She's simply wandering. She's looking for someone. She's looking for shelter. She's looking for safety. And in the mayhem taking place, this little girl wanders around all alone. Quite a contrast to the mob that's taking place and the violence that's going on in the background as she's simply walking the streets, looking. Well, sadly, tragically, later in this movie, you see the same little girl in the same red coat. This time she's no longer walking around. Her body is lying on a cart piled high with other dead bodies, as she's dumped into a ditch. Imagine God's heart for people wandering like that little girl, looking for someone, looking for shelter, looking for safety. It tears at your heart. And God grieves over the sheep who are left to wander the wilderness and devoured by wild animals because there is no shepherd around to care for them, because the shepherd is out feeding himself. Well, in contrast to that, what are some things that can happen today with the flock of God that is properly cared for? When shepherds begin serving the sheep rather than being served, they gather God's people together rather than allow them to wander. They build foundations of faith rather than allow the faith of the people to crumble. They model the biblical imperatives of discipleship and self-denial. When shepherds begin serving the sheep rather than being served, they search for the lost. And they're their advocates and intercessors in the world. They offer the sheep a sense of direction in this life and a source of encouragement, hope, and comfort when the time really becomes hard or when tragedy strikes. When shepherds begin serving the sheep rather than being served, they avoid bringing their own excesses and bad habits into the fold for others to adopt. And they offer an alternative to self-gratification and indulgence because God cares for his sheep. But lest we put this solely on the shoulders of the shepherds today, to carry the burden alone, let's remember that only God can carry this burden. Because we're sheep too. And we're prone to wander. And we cannot carry this burden alone. And when we are negligent, we should repent. And when we are abusive or negligent, we should do what we can to make things right. But let's never forget that this is Jesus. And this is what Jesus can do, and what only Jesus can do. Look at verse 11 of Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of the clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed them. They shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the stray, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. God promises to do just that. Matthew chapter 9 says this: Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus responds by saying this in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And Jesus does want his under-shepherds to care for the sheep. And he calls them to do so. And one of the ways Jesus himself does care for his flock is to give the flock godly pastors and elders to shepherd the flock, to feed them the gospel, to feed them truth, to build them up in the faith, to encourage them and challenge them to live and love for God's glory. And he gives the flock faithful pastors and shepherds to demonstrate faithfulness and teach them not to wander. But Jesus knows his shepherds are sinful. He knows they're fallible people. So Jesus takes ultimate responsibility. And Jesus took that responsibility on the cross. And even when our leaders fail, Jesus never does, because he went all the way. The wicked shepherds that Ezekiel prophesied against were feeding themselves and not feeding the sheep. They were taking care of themselves. They were not taking care of the flock. They were building up themselves and they were not building up the flock. In short, they were doing the very opposite of what Jesus came to do on earth. And this lesson in contrasts shows us what not to do, but it also points us to the only one who can be the shepherd to the sheep completely and perfectly and eternally. It points us to the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. And as we fade into the background, it shows us the shepherd who advances into the foreground. So he is highlighted. And his nature and his purposes and his goodness and his perfectness are highlighted, so that his holiness can be brought forth and our sinfulness can recede. Jesus, who on the night he was betrayed, fed his sheep. Took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." This is the shepherd we need to trust. This is the shepherd we need to focus on. And when we fail, we repent. When we fail, we ask for help to do things right. But ultimately, we trust in and we look at the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. We have a shepherd who cares for his sheep, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts for this meal that Jesus himself has set before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we fail, and we all do, we pray that you would draw us back to Jesus, our advocate, our strength, our sustainer, our supplier, our sanctifier. Lord Jesus, we confess that too often we have failed. And when the sheep have been wandering, and when the sheep have been unfed, and when the sheep have been neglected, we pray that you will care for your sheep, but you will draw shepherds back to yourself, so that we may glorify you by taking care of your sheep in the way that would glorify your name. Bless this food that we're about to receive. May it be good for us. May it edify us. May it bind us together in unity of holy love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.